This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 106. Tom, greetings.
Guten Tag.
Ah, oh, very good. Two G's. Perfect.
Yeah. Was geht, Nalle?
What was that?
So what's happening, people?
In what?
German.
Say again?
Was geht, Nalle? I know it sounds like I'm just making noises.
Well, it sounds like it's in reverse.
I know.
And I know that we have people that listen in Germany, and I very much appreciate the language.
Anyone listening, big shout out to Das Bo. He's a good rapper I enjoy.
Oh, cool.
That was it's a bit from his song, Törlich, Törlich. Just like naturally, naturally.
As in, of course.
Yeah, basically the song going, yeah, man, I'm sorted.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah. I will listen to it probably after this, I reckon.
Oh, I think it's from about 2000. It's early German hip-hop in that peak period of like Die Fantastischen Vier and Fünf Stern Deluxe, which is Five Star Deluxe.
Ah, oh, that's nice. That's nice. I was trying to think around the time other songs were out, and the one that I could think of was that Rock the Microphone.
Sure, Scooter. No, not Scooter.
Where was that from? Right from Sweden, the top of the dome or my dome or something.
Was that the Funk Master?
Stereo. Maybe.
Freestyle.
Yeah, that's right. Rock the Microphone. And the kid, it was a kid and he had dreadlocks and he looked far too young to have dreadlocks.
Bomb Funk MCs. That's what they were called. That was buried deep in my subconscious. That was a good video.
Well.
The kid had the remote.
It was a great video.
Breakdancers do their thing.
Yeah. It was. Might have been before the Run DMC, It's Like That and That's the Way It Is.
No, I'm going to say
same time?
Because that was Jason Nevins and that was about 97, potentially 99.
Yeah, right, okay.
Might have been 99, but I was a bit younger for that. Mm-hmm. Bomb Funk was blowing up when I was in Europe.
Ah, okay. Ah, yes, of course.
That's why I
rock the microphone straight from the top.
And now, a word from our sponsor. In the land where stuff happens, you can be sure to see it all go down. Barbara, she's busy making her breakfast, Vegemite on toast. Everything is as it should be until stuff happens.
Oh no, the toast is ready, but I don't have the butter out of the fridge. I'm going to have to move like the wind if I want the butter to melt, that's for sure.
Stuff happens. Here's Todd. He's working on getting his paperwork in order to get his taxes done.
Awesome. I'm done. Now all I need to do is print out this list of charitable donations I made throughout the year and, oh no, I'm out of ink.
Stuff happens. Sally, she's woken up, opened the curtains in her bedroom and realised it's a good drying day.
Mark, wake up, Mark. You're going to have to get up out of that bed because I need to strip the sheets. It's windy and sunny. It's a good drying day.
Stuff happens. Bruce is quickly ducking up to the shops to grab a burger and chips. He's an adult and can decide to eat whatever he goddamn wants, okay?
No. Can't find my wallet.
Stuff happens. Join the people of the land where stuff happens, weeknights at 7.
We will be talking about The Mandalorian.
Yeah, because we've both got Disney Plus now. Mm-hmm. Hooray.
And we've got to discuss the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead. That's happened. Mm. No more Walking Dead until February something.
Time for a break. It doesn't happen often.
We're quite all right with it. I'm also going to be talking about a thing Jim Carrey may be doing soon.
Sure. Can we talk about Good Place?
And The Good Place, yes. That's going to be spoken about as well.
I'll tell you some other things that are good on Disney Plus too.
Okay.
I've had a dig.
I've watched a movie.
Oh.
It was very arty.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I want to kick it off first, though, with a show I reckon a lot of people are going to get into.
Okay.
It's from the UK. It was/is on Channel 4 over there called Flirty Dancing.
And Flirty Dancing?
Yeah, and they're going to do it in the US as well. They're going to get their own version you know that week between Christmas and New Year's?
Oh, yeah.
It was about the 29th, something like that. Basically, the show is two strangers. They separately learn all the choreographed moves to a duo dance. Then they come together to perform it. They've never met, never spoken, never even looked at each other before. The choreographed dances are very like sensual and romantic, which makes it even more interesting as an audience member because you're watching these two strangers have to dance in this really sort of intimate way, but it's kind of like their blind date.
Okay, so it's like a James Bond movie but without suaveness.
Exactly.
Of that, I'm going to walk onto the dance floor, grab you, and we're going to have a discussion here. It's going to be intimate. Everyone watching is going to be,
wow.
Okay. I like the sound of that.
I like the way that your brain went because my brain went to, it's like two drunk people.
Sure.
On a dance floor, but way more classy.
Yeah. I was going to say that's handsy.
Very handsy. So this show's going to have a whole heap of different sort of couples.
And are they celebrities or are they just
randoms? No, random. So they'll be young, old, gay, straight, all being taught by, I think it's just one choreographer. At least in the UK, it's just one guy who teaches them the dances. It's going to be on Fox and I'm intrigued. I think it's going to be a really easy show to watch. It's got that reality blind date feel without being like a bit icky.
And is there a couple of couples each episode or is it?
I believe so. That's what it looked like.
I think for me, the tone of the narrator will hammer it for me. If they go, come dine with me and have someone who's a little bit disparaging of everyone in there.
It can make it really different.
Yeah.
But also amusing.
Yeah.
Or they could go with the really sort of positivity. Yeah. I don't know which way they'll go. Intriguing.
Very cool.
Yeah. What have you found this week?
Well, the thing that everyone in Australia is talking about, basically, if you're under the age of maybe 30 or something, was a new Uber Eats ad.
Yes.
That premiered on Sunday and Twitter blew up. Everyone's like, what? So it's a very difficult thing to explain to people because the actual like Venn diagram of people into both of those things would be pretty small, but people aware of both of those things would be pretty great.
Yeah.
It's a clever idea. We have a show in Australia called Kath and Kim. It's not been on for a long time, but you've talked about it an awful lot. You love
it. Very, very funny.
The best tweet I saw about it was exactly this, of some advertising executive or creative has walked into a meeting and gone, guys, I had the idea at 3 a.m. What if it's Kath and Kim, but Kim is Kim Kardashian? And that's all it is. And they just make her speak like an Aussie. And she does it poorly and wears netball gear.
That's right. She is. And on instead of, you know, how like it'll say wing defense or, you know, WD wing defense on the netball bib, it's just like her initials.
KKW?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she wouldn't be seen without that bit of branding.
No, no.
It's very cleverly done. They throw in a few noise. Was there any look at Moo?
Was there?
It might have been a brief throwaway.
I think but also Sharon doesn't actually, she's not the one in the show that says, look at me.
That's true.
But I like the bit at the end where Kim just goes, I have no idea what you're saying. I thought that was really well done.
Yep.
Because the accent in Kath and Kim was really like this. So, you know, you'd have Sharon going, Kimmy, should we get like some sort of dinner? And Kim would go, nah. Where this Kim is like, sorry, what?
Yeah, very confused for everyone. But, yeah, people are very receptive to it here. I don't know if it's part of a campaign that will have a few more ads. I would imagine that they would try and get as much content out of her as possible.
Sure.
Because I'm going to be honest, I think they've paid more than $1.5 million.
Really?
Yeah. And this is me not knowing anything other than working in advertising for that long and doing a little dig yesterday into what Kim Kardashian's normal rates are for just Instagram plugs, and they're between $300,000 and maybe $800,000.
Wow.
She doesn't do live performance stuff too often anymore or appear in things too much and unless it's tied to something with her husband.
Yeah, right.
So to get her to come and do that, well, it looks like they filmed that in Australia. They clearly flew Magda Szubanski over to LA instead.
This is making me wonder how much Magda would have gotten out of that.
She would have done well enough, but
not Kim Kardashian.
No
levels.
I imagine though, Magda probably gets some sort of residuals from the show. So anything that bumps Kath and Kim is good for her as well.
Yeah, you're right. A an advertising exec had just binged a whole heap of Kath and Kim one weekend.
Yep. Look, Uber Eats have been doing some really great campaigns. They had a recent one that was John Farnham.
And Jimmy Barnes.
Jimmy Barnes and Arne Doe. And they're pretty clever. They've had a couple of good celebrities in the past. I'm happy for them to keep doing this.
Still hung up on who shot Mr. Burns? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
We finally know the name of that third Walking Dead series.
Oh, tell me.
It's called The Walking Dead World Beyond.
Hmm.
Scott Gimple, the guy that was the showrunner for The Walking Dead for a fair while before Angela Kang took over.
Yeah.
He's been busy working on this, creating it, co-creating it. And this world, okay, so the first trailer I saw, which was a few months ago now, because it was from Comic-Con, was
yes.
it? Yeah. It, to me, felt like they were going for a younger audience,
yep.
sort of like your Riverdale Daybreak
exactly
sort of.
The title I was going to say. That new trailer that dropped, I don't know if you saw that
yes,
one.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Very teen.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, why not for them? It may not be something that we'll get into, but it will definitely give the Walking Dead universe some longevity because you get those guys in.
Sure.
Who perhaps have never watched The Walking Dead, but they've seen Daybreak. It feels like Riverdale. I'm going to start watching it.
And I don't know how they're going to tie it into the main series, but they clearly are because the trailer has the three-ring emblem.
Yep, the helicopter people.
Was that Julia Osmond, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've got a big name.
They do. I also noticed in the cast listing that Scott Adsit has been added to the cast.
Who's Scott Adsit?
Do you remember Liz Lemon's, was he the head writer or the producer? The bald guy on 30 Rock.
Yep.
That's Scott Adsit.
Yeah,
and
right.
I love him. And he's a character in the Marvel Universe comics. Like he got written in by another comedian to be a guy that basically handles Deadpool for S.H.I.E.L.D. and
oh
for the
gosh,
army
I
and
love
stuff.
That.
And Deadpool sends him crazy.
Oh, so like Liz Lemon sends him crazy.
Yeah, but like Deadpool sends him so crazy that the guy ends up getting stationed in space to try and escape Deadpool.
Just to get away.
Yeah. Deadpool finds him.
Of course he does. Well, where this world is, and I think they might be borrowing a little bit from the end of the comic books in that they are from a huge community and these kids have grown up in the zombie apocalypse and they are now stepping out into the world for the first time ever. So they've never seen zombies, but zombies have existed for years. And yeah, it's being tied in because those helicopter people are there. Maybe the helicopter people are from that city. We don't know, but that's how it is.
That emblem certainly makes it seem like there might be three locations that they're using.
Ah, very.
Maybe one related to a naval base.
I've got questions about that as well coming up a little bit later on. So it's coming out autumn here or spring in the Northern Hemisphere.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Next year.
So the producer of Bohemian Rhapsody has been excitedly announced to the world that he's going to make another film, a music biopic about Michael Jackson.
Oh.
That's awkward.
That's going to be controversial already.
Yeah.
You got Elton John. You've got Freddie Mercury.
Yep.
So we've done those two.
But I just mean there are a couple of people that probably shouldn't, you know, Bill Cosby.
Mm.
That's an awkward one. And Michael Jackson, his estate. His family are going to have a lot to say about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get in the way and all sorts of things. And that's if it's even being genuine, or this might go the other way and, you know, plaster across and not talk about stuff.
I think that's probably what they'll do.
Anyway, watch this space.
Yeah, so it's really early days.
Very, very early. So this could be a long time off. Like that Freddie Mercury movie floated around for 10, 15 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. Sacha Baron Cohen was attached to star for many years.
That would have been a different film.
Yep.
Very different. Speaking of films that may or may not be made, the rumour on the street is that Jim Carrey might be making a sequel to The Mask. Now, earlier this year, the creator, Mike Richardson, was talking about making a new female Mask reboot.
Yes.
So think Ghostbusters reboot, but in The Mask. I'm not sure if they're planning to do both movies or if they want to merge them into one film. It's not out of the realm of happening. Because remember, they did make Dumb and Dumber sequel. So Jim Carrey does do stuff like this.
Oh, yeah. And look, there is a Mask 2, which is
that's right,
Jamie,
wasn't it? Was it more to do with the dog or something for that one, or was that?
It did go on the dog. Alan, oh, what's his name? Cummings.
You, oh, yeah.
He
yeah,
was
yeah,
the
Scottish
bad
bloke.
Guy.
Yeah, right.
And what's his name? He had that terrible prank show on MTV in the 90s.
Oh,
Jamie.
Oh, he went out with someone.
He was in Scream. He was the guy that knew all the movies and
I can see his
look
face.
Up, look up Scream Randy. I'm sure his name is Randy in Scream.
Scream Randy. Jamie Kennedy.
That's it. See?
Jamie
How
Kennedy.
How is it that I know his character's name in a film?
Yeah, that was Jamie Kennedy.
It's because Randy knows the rules and he knows the tapes for everyone. Randy is who I was in those movies.
Who did he go out with? He went out with someone.
He did very well for himself.
It's
for
like
a
Jennifer
while,
Love Hewitt or so, it was someone like that. Yeah. Let us know, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Jamie Kennedy.
What were we talking about? Oh, the mask. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if it's if or when it's going to happen and if they potentially get maybe Cameron Diaz back again.
Sure.
She hasn't been in anything for a while. Look, that I know of.
The mask comic license, because it was a comic book character first, it sits dormant for quite a time every few years, but it's back at the moment and the mask is the president. In a Trump style.
Of course.
He's bringing the country down
top. Well, I was going to say that's not out of the realm of possibility these days.
Strong enough to lift both Thor and Grandthar's hammer for double avenging. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So it's not long until The Rise of Skywalker. Mm. And I've done pretty well staying away from any spoilers. And we're going to talk about The Mandalorian, but I'm suddenly a little more interested in Star Wars again.
Thanks, I think a lot of people are.
Yeah. Between that and my new kicks, I got the Adidas X-Wing.
They are
Ultra Boost.
Amazing.
Have a look online for anyone interested. There's new Adidas sneakers out that are very cool. However, some people nearly got a lot spoiled on The Rise of Skywalker because somehow the full script ended up on eBay.
Wait, what?
Yep. So J.J. Abrams was talking about it this morning. He got interviewed. Someone saw it over the weekend.
Yeah.
And essentially he's not going to say exactly which actor, but only a few actors in any of the films get the entire script. Most people only get their scenes, which is, you know, to their credit, better than what Marvel get. Marvel, sometimes you get your lines, not even what the other person is saying.
Holy
back.
Cow.
But this person had left their script under their bed in the hotel. A cleaner found it.
Yeah, right.
Shared it with a friend. Friend put it up on eBay. And thankfully someone from production found it and bought it before it got out.
You know what? Given the opportunity, if I was able to read the script or even just be told what happens in the end, I would say no. I don't want to know. I want to experience in the cinema, in the movies. What about you? For this one, I mean, this one.
This one, I think I agree. I used to see most of the scripts early and this sort of stuff, and there are films that are improved by knowing the script first, and there are films that are not, and spectacle films generally don't.
Mm.
So, yeah, I would say, yeah, hang out and
yeah, I just want to wait. This is like the end of the Skywalker
That's
saga.
Right. It's a
like,
big deal.
It's been going on but before we even existed. You know what I mean? Like it's so long that you just want to...
Just let it be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I understand why someone would try and make money off it as well. Like
sure.
That's,
I don't think it was up for $100,000 or something like that. I don't think it was ridiculous prices.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still.
So there's going to be a new version of Oliver Twist and it's going to have Michael Caine and Lena Headey.
Okay.
I hope she smirks in it.
Do you think she'll have an asymmetrical haircut?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, it's going to be period, won't it?
No, it's not. It's set in modern day London.
Oh, this she's going to be a gangster covered in tats.
She's going to be a gangster, except she won't have the tats. Oh, no, she does have some tats.
She does have tats. And like in Judge, you know, in Dread, she's covered in tats. And Fighting With My Family, the wrestling movie.
Is she,
well.
She got tats
she's
in that.
She's the mum in that and she's covered in tats and rough hair. And
amazing.
Oh, you'd love that movie. She's so rough in
I
that.
Do want to see it. I remember seeing the preview and going, oh, that looks
a
bit
She's doing
right.
a Nick Frost impression
oh,
to
really?
Nick Frost's face. It's great.
Well, this one's going to be about a talented graffiti artist, which everything you're saying about her potential character is still on point, who's lured, I should say, into a street gang headed by, obviously, Fagin. And he has a big plane. I don't know. It does say father figure Fagan, so potentially.
Mm.
It'd be pretty good. I wouldn't mind seeing it. And then they want to do like an art heist, like a big art theft.
I'd like Hugh Laurie as Fagan, I think.
Yeah, Hugh Laurie would be good. Do you want to know who Oliver is, though?
Who?
A bloke called Raff Law, Jude Law's son.
Huh.
When you look at the picture of him, like, because the Law name stuck out of me. I'm like, I wonder if. And when I Googled him, I went, that is exactly who I would think a talented graffiti artist in a modern day Oliver Twist would look like.
Sure. Okay.
So that's coming out 2021. I hope there's a gruel scene.
There's got to be. Give us some more.
Yeah.
Bit of that. Otherwise.
Otherwise, what's the point?
But will it be gritty? Will it be, you know, give us some more heroin,
give
sir.
Give us some more. Oh, yeah, maybe.
You know? Yeah.
This is for adults only.
Oh, yeah.
That's why Lena said yes. She's like, let's go gritty.
She does like gritty. Mm. I've seen her some, like, she likes to knock herself down.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed by that.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah. Got a lot of time for her. Mm. What else have you found?
So I've got a few quick ones. Mm. I'm going to two trailers.
Mm.
One for Avenue 5, which I've touched on a few times. That's Amando Iannucci's new show, the creator of Veep and The Thick of It. This is a futuristic space tourism travel ocean liner type thing. Hugh Laurie is the captain of the ship. I saw Josh Gad, and there's a bunch of great people, some people from Silicon Valley and stuff in there. Everyone playing very straight, but it looks like there's a lot of improvisation. And in the first episode, something horrible happens to the engines and, you know, it's one of those, oh, we've got a week until we're out of food and people are going to turn on each other real quick, stuck in space. Looks very funny.
Ah, that's good.
I'm amped for that. So that will be early next year.
Okay.
That's on HBO.
Cool.
And then we have Trolls 2 World Tour, which I shouldn't be as amped for as I am, but the first Trolls movie with Justin Timberlake and Anna Kendrick is great fun.
Mm.
And the second one, Ozzy Osbourne. Like the trolls of dark rock and hard metal rise up. And then, you know, they find out that there's different villages of trolls. So there's a hip hop village and all this sort of stuff. So they'll be able to get cool musicians in doing voices. But Ozzy is in it. And maybe Sharon Osbourne or someone is the daughter of Ozzy. He's the king of rock.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously.
That's how they got him.
And so all the other music genre trolls have to team up to try and push back against rock. So I think it's going to end up with mashups.
Oh, that will be so good. Yes.
I think the power of trolls will intertwine and we'll get some just awesome genre bending stuff
by the
end of the film.
That's really fun. That's going to be an amazing soundtrack.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one was pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm. It was a really good fun movie. I really enjoyed the shorts that they did for Netflix, I think it was. Somewhere they were online. There were some shorts that were really good. And amp for another one. So that'll be middle next year, I think.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's not long to wait.
Shay will be very excited.
Yeah, she'll be there. Maybe she can come in and give us a review.
I think that's a good idea.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
So my last two quick ones. I was a bit bummed last night. I watched the last ever Jim Jefferies show on Comedy Central. Yeah, in the States.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been partnered up with Tosh.0 for the last 3 years, and that show has wrapped up, which is a bit of a bummer. I don't think it's too much to do with the ratings. I think it's kind of a mutual thing of...
It's been going for a while, Tosh 2.0.
Well, Tosh 2.0 is on season 12 or something. Yeah. It's not ending anytime soon.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I thought you meant both were ending.
No, yeah, Tosh is good. That show is cheap as shit to make.
Yeah, I would think so.
He just uses internet clips. Yeah. Jim Jefferies this last season has flown somewhere internationally to do a piece each week.
Maybe he knew.
So I think he knew there was a bit of that. He's also got development deals lined up that he's working on a sitcom at the moment that's being developed for him to star in.
Mm.
And I think that's more his vibe. I think he wants to get into some of the acting stuff. He's a very gifted comedian.
Mm-hmm.
It took him a while to be natural behind the desk.
Mm.
And he constantly leaned back and kind of just made fun of what he was attempting to do.
A bit self-conscious.
It was a mix of self-conscious and very Australian self-deprecation.
Yeah, right.
And it really made him stand out from the other late night hosts. Yeah. So I'm bummed that it's gone, but I'm real happy for him. He ended on a real high note, said some beautiful things.
Oh, great.
Bloody represented Australia well.
I thought you'd say he was a bloody ripper then for a second.
He was a bloody ripper. But he acquitted himself well.
Oh, good.
And did a real good job of showing Americans that we are not all Crocodile Dundee or this sort of stuff. You know what I mean? That we do actually have some intellectual people with political thoughts.
Yeah.
And have a comedian that's probably got the best bit about gun rights and gun laws.
It blew up
a
bit, didn't it? What he had to say, which I thought was good.
So good luck to him. I'm going to be watching what he's doing next.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And then finally, the Batman. The cast on this continues to grow. We've had Colin Farrell step in as Penguin. We've got Jeffrey Wright as Commissioner Gordon.
I'm so happy about those two castings, just those two to start off with, because I think I can see both of them playing those characters, but I'm really interested to see how the Penguin's going to be.
Yeah.
That makes me interested.
Well, there's been another bit of casting that's really gotten me, and it's kind of clicked things for me in my mind, because they've been talking about there's going to be a lot of villains in this, and where's this going to fit? So John Turturro, who...
Oh, you know him.
He's one of the greatest character actors of the last 30 years.
Yeah.
You might have recently seen him in being exasperated in the Transformers films.
Exasperated.
He does some big ticket stuff clearly to pay for pools or things like that, and then spends the rest of his time being an absolute legend in Coen brother movies and this sort of stuff. Mm. So he's going to be playing Carmine Falcone.
Who is this character?
So Carmine Falcone is the head of the mafia, the main mafia business within Gotham City.
Is he the guy that provides all the, like, the bad guys? You know how there's always bad guys?
Yeah, he's in charge of all the mooks.
Yeah, okay.
In the Dark Knight movies, the ones with Christian Bale, he was in the first one, and he was played by, Tom Wilkinson, the English actor who I think was in Full Monty.
Oh, I'm just trying to remember the first movie.
So
that's the one with Katie Holmes, right?
That's right. He plays a mob boss. He's playing like this. Yeah, you come in my town, you're going to have a real tough time. I'm going to come at you. You know, I'm a big mook like
You've
this.
Done it quite well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So John Turturro is going to be playing his character. And the reason why this has solidified things a little bit for me is we know there's Catwoman. We know that there's Riddler, Penguin, all this sort of stuff.
Mm.
Carmine Falcone is the last piece of the puzzle you need for a really fantastic storyline called The Long Halloween, which was a storyline that went for, it was either 12 or 13 issues, I can't remember, back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And each one was themed around a topical event of that month. So one, you know, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all this sort of stuff. And we were led to believe that maybe the killer was a guy named the Calendar Man, who is a guy obsessed
with the paper days.
With dates, and he carved the names of months around his head.
That seems like a sensible idea.
That's right. I'm not going to go any further into it because there's a lot more twists and this sort of stuff. It's a very bendy whodunit. It, you know, in the 80s, Batman was far more detective than action hero. Mm-hmm. So this was a real hardcore detective story of him solving. And each month he's up against a different large villain.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense of, if you're going to have all these different villains, then, you know, while we're like, hey, Colin Farrell's the Penguin, he might be in it for 8 minutes.
Who, Colin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, some of these villains will just be real small speed bumps towards the main thing. And Carmine Falcone and the mafia is a huge part of this, and his son is involved. There's a mafia war going on, this sort of stuff. So that's potentially a bigger role than we expect.
Okay. And also potentially we know kind of what the story might be about.
I think it will lift elements from it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it's Robert Pattinson, he's a bit younger, definitely means that they're probably going to merge it a little bit with a story from the same period called Year One, which was about not origin, but kind of the first year of Batman.
Okay.
So I could see this being a storyline of him inserting himself, trying to beat the mafia, which, you know, ruffles the feathers and the villains start to rise and he just makes it worse.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I'm intrigued about this one.
I'm so on board with everything. Every time something more comes out about it, I'm like, that's perfect.
Also, to go from Ben Affleck to Robert Pattinson. Pattinson?
I believe it's Pattinson, but I always just say Pattinson.
Yeah, I think most people do. I don't know. It's it there's a completely different feel and vibe. Those two actors are so different.
Oh, hell yeah. Did you ever see that movie
Night and Day
he did with Guy Pearce where they were out in the, was it Simpson Desert or something like this?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, I can't remember what it's called, but it was not long after he finished doing the Twilight rubbish, and it was one of his first roles breaking out, and it's pretty damn good.
Because he's spent a lot of his career since Twilight doing very un-Twilighty things. I guess in that respect, a lot like Kristen Stewart has as well. They've really gone
distanced themselves.
In a quite successful way as well.
Yeah.
Because now when you think about him, you think, oh, that's right, he was in Twilight. But
everyone thinks of that picture of him in black and white standing next to Willem Dafoe in front of a lighthouse, don't they? That's what I say.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, good.
Standard. Should we get into some stuff we've been watching?
Yes, please.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
All right, because we need to talk about quite a lot of things, I don't want to delve too much into I've been watching, which means my list continues to get very, very long. But there is a movie coming out today in Australia on Thursday called Mrs. Lowry and Son.
Is it Lowrey?
No, E.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, because if it's EY, that's Mike Lowry. He's from Bad Boys.
Oh, no, it's not him. So is L.S. Lowry. He was an artist from, I want to say, Lancashire area in about the 1930s. This is where it was. This movie is set in 1934.
Right.
And he is a guy whose job is he's a rent collector. So he just goes around all the working class people, you know, there's mining and all that sort of stuff, very industrial still. Mm. He goes around asking people for their rent, which can't be a very nice job.
I'm sorry. As my one of in Spider-Man 2, the old one with Tobey Maguire, he gets hassled by his landlord all the time who lives next door. He always just opens the door and goes, rent. So I'm sorry. Every time you keep saying rent collector.
You keep thinking it's him.
Rent.
So this guy has got quite a mundane job and he lives with his elderly invalid mother.
Okay.
Who has got a lot of thoughts about a lot of things.
Right.
She's one of those people. So he's basically having to look after her, who's played by Vanessa Redgrave, who is amazing in it. She's really good. And I had to look up how old Vanessa Redgrave was these days. Mm. She's in her early 80s.
Wow.
And she is busy in this movie. Like, she's got a lot that she has to say. Timothy Spall, is the main character, Alice Lowry.
Yeah, hello.
I forgot to say that.
Rafe Spall's dad. He's the dad of the guy from War of the Worlds. He's
played a rat sort of character.
He's Wormtail in Harry Potter movies. He was in Getting Square.
Pretty sure he was in that movie about Judy Garland with Renee Zellweger as well recently.
Sure.
So he's going well.
Yeah.
He's doing all of the things.
He's official Australian because he was in Getting Square with Sam Worthington.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, so he's an Aussie.
Yeah.
Well.
He's not.
Don't look
he's
that up.
Very English.
Yeah, that's right. So this movie is about how he, his passion is painting.
Yeah.
And he likes to paint moments. So he will stand out the front of a factory.
Mm.
As people are leaving work for the day, and he'll paint that. And people, including his mother, are like, that painting could have been done by a 5-year-old kind of thing. And
he's
like,
or a camera,
that's true. He was never very successful whilst his mother was around. Once his mother passed away, he became very successful. I don't think it had anything to do with it, but it did. And he is very famous, and his artworks are very famous over in the UK to this day.
Like
million. You want to buy one of his works, you're going to be spending millions. This guy lived in a two up, two down place and in sort of lower class England. And his mother had lived her whole life wanting to live in the upper class.
Right.
So she was still, I don't belong here. We don't belong here. We're made of better things, but they'd lived there ever since this guy was a boy. It's all about the relationship between the mother and son.
Sure.
Without being as hilarious as mother and son. the Australian show. But it's a nice movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Mrs. Lowry and Son. Like I said, it's out in cinemas in Australia today, so go and watch it.
Grab some turpentine, acetone and benzene. That's all you'll need to make dip and survive the upcoming cartoon apocalypse. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What have you been watching?
So, mostly I've been watching Disney Plus.
Ah, fair enough.
There are two shows from there before we dive into Mandalorian that I'm going to plug. But briefly, I just wanted to say I finally watched Baller Season 5.
Oh, nice.
The final season.
Yeah, right. What'd you think? It's all done. Did it wrap up nicely? Are you happy with the way it finished?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's usually how endings of long-running shows end.
Ballers hasn't been as good the last two seasons. They've split everyone up. They've been different places in the country.
It makes it difficult.
And then this season, Rob Corddry and The Rock don't get together until episode 7 of 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, The Rock does not act with anyone we really know until episode 6.
How many episodes?
8.
Yeah, okay.
They're all off doing separate things. Mm. And then there's that whole, we got to get the gang back together at the end.
Game of Thrones.
Russell Brand. Really good this season.
Yeah, nice.
Annoying as hell last season and like was a problem for the show. And then this season they just went like, no, Russell, just turn it down just a touch. Oh, got you, mate. And then it was on and he was great. He became a voice of reason. No one would ever think Russell Brand would be the voice of reason, but he was very calming on the show.
Pretty sure he thinks he's the voice of reason. He spits out a lot of videos on social media.
Yeah, he's not really even playing a character on this show. It's just...
Has he played a character before, though? Or is it always a Russell Brand character in stuff he does?
He was all right in Arthur. It wasn't a great movie, the remake of Arthur.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, he doesn't really stretch himself too much. Anyway, so it was good to finally catch up with that. Thanks, iTunes, for taking like 4 months to get that. Not your fault, HBO's.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Disney Plus stuff. We'll get to Mandalorian, but the two that I wanted to plug really quick, which I talked about a bunch of times before but were so satisfying, was The World According to Jeff Goldblum, which I will sum up really quickly as, do you like Jeff Goldblum?
Mm-hmm.
You'd enjoy this show. If you don't like Jeff Goldblum, do not watch this show.
That's okay. All right.
It is just all finding out about tattoos on my skin.
Only one seeing those hands as well. Those are good hand impersonations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like a Jeff Goldblum impersonation has to be done with hands. Mm. And it's not an audio thing. So I'm sorry everyone's missing out, but it is just him being Jeff Goldblum 212. And I'm a interesting, curious cat. It's literally that sort of stuff. He hugs people for too long.
Of course he does. He's the kind of person where if you're tired, if you didn't sleep well the night before and you've got to go and see him, that's a chore.
But he like hugs people and then nuzzles their neck.
Oh, really?
Gets in there. He's like, no, let's share auras. coming together. So the first 3 episodes are out and they have been on sneakers, which I was really into. Mm. That was very interesting. One on how ice cream was made and he makes his own artisanal ice cream. And then the third one was about tattoos and going to tattoo conventions and he gets to tattoo someone on Jeff Goldblum Day.
Of course there's a Jeff Goldblum Day.
It's in his, I want to say, Baltimore, I think he's from.
Okay.
But he got given the key of the city and they named a day after him. And
he's
he
a
went
legend.
Back and there's a place that does free tattoos on Jeff Goldblum Day and you get yourself tattooed with Jeff Goldblum. So he tattoos himself on someone else.
It is pretty memorable.
And he's like, you and I are connected.
And that's forever. Pretty much the greatest thing Jeff Goldblum could say to a Jeff Goldblum fan.
Yep.
Meanwhile, just really quick side note, ice cream being made, you know there's an actual gelato university where people go to learn how to make gelato properly in Italy.
I completely believe it.
Mm. You also said you watched something else on Disney Plus?
Yes, the other one was The Imagineering Story, which is the history of Disney Imagineering, who are the people that build the theme parks and come up with the tech.
This is right up your alley.
It's so up my alley, but it is legit the best documentary series I've watched in a while.
Awesome.
It is biased as hell. You know, it's made by Disney for Disney, but it's not nearly as salesy as I expected.
Okay.
And doesn't delve into some of the really problematic stuff, but we'll still touch on things like the fact that Walt hated unions.
Mm.
He had a real issue with them because they fucked him over a lot of times. He in turn, you know, rode people into the ground and this sort of stuff.
Right.
So it was a not, but the show actually goes into that a little bit and this sort of stuff. So while he's still presented as
the god, the Disney god,
yes, he's not infallible.
Okay.
And the first episode is all around, it's not even Walt's life. It's kind of when Imagineering starts 3 to 4 years before Disneyland opens.
Mm-hmm.
And the first episode is entirely about how everyone said he was insane and this was the worst idea ever and the only people that believed were his Imagineers and the people coming up with the fun ideas. The second episode is dealing with Walt's death and Roy Disney, his brother, taking over to finish building Magic Kingdom in Orlando and Epcot and then the start of Tokyo Disney.
Meanwhile, Walter and Roy, they're really names of a particular era, aren't they?
Aren't they? My granddad's name was Walter, so my dad's middle name is Walt.
Nice.
Yep. And then the third episode was, it's called The Midas Touch, and it's all about when Michael Eisner and Frank Wells took over, and that was, I want to say, late 70s, or maybe about 83, 84,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of when the golden age of the theme parks kind of kicked off.
Wally World.
Yes. And, you know, he built MGM Disney, Hollywood Studios, and Euro Disney, and it goes into a lot about how Euro Disney failed. And that was the thing I was really hoping that they wouldn't kind of sweep under the rug of how the Europeans didn't want it, and Disney spent way too much money trying to appeal to them by making everything as beautiful as it can be. Because it's the most beautiful of the parks by mile, but French people were like, yeah, that's what our towns look like. You haven't... made anything. Anyway, so it was really, really well done.
Mm.
There is the thing.
Are they drip feeding it?
Everything on Disney's drip fed.
I really like that idea.
Me too. So Friday night, Saturday morning is when this new stuff comes out. I am fascinated by this show. And the thing I'm really loving, and this is it does not make sense at all, but all this footage they have of Walt Disney walking around in 1953 and 54 doing his TV show, talking directly to the camera about the theme park coming, is restored in glorious film because it was recorded on film and it looks beautiful. Mm. It looks filmed today. And then once you get to the 80s and VHS has come in, everything looks shit. There's lines, there's crackles, there's distorted tape. It's aged tape. There's no masters of this kept anywhere. It wasn't recorded on film. So it's this, you can see the shift in quality and cheapness that is not a Disney thing, is just
society's tech moved.
Yeah. You can see that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have been something that they would have planned.
Not at all. I've read some interviews with the people that made it, and the director is the granddaughter of the person who created Mickey Mouse with Walt.
Wow.
So that's what I mean. There's all these really cool family links, and that's why there's a lot of bias.
Mm.
But there's a really moving moment where there's a woman who works as an Imagineer now, and she's talking about how her mother worked as an Imagineer in the 50s and 60s. And she was working in the shop when they needed to record the fortune-telling witch woman's floating head for the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother had a bit of an accent, so they got her to do it just for a lark of like, here's the test footage. And it worked so well that they never changed it. And this woman's like, and the woman who recorded it passed away maybe 2 years later.
Right.
But her daughter said that every time she goes through the Haunted Mansion, she gets to visit with her mother.
That's cool.
Because her face is there and she hears her talking as she sounded before she died. So it's not the memory of what she sounded. It's her actual voice with her face talking to her. That's cool.
That's really cool.
So that's what I mean. This show has really personal moments for people that built this stuff bundled in with the hows and whys. It's my jam.
Yeah. It definitely is.
So there's three more episodes.
Still trying to make Fetch happen? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What do you want to talk about? We might as well talk about Mandalorian now, right?
We
We're still on the Disney Plus hype train.
I really like it.
I really like this show.
I like it way more than any of the Star Wars movies since it came back.
I like it so much that I'm genuine when I say I sit there and I watch the whole entire credits at the end because I love those artworks.
I love that, and I'm also sitting there going, was that Jon Favreau voicing the other Mandalorian? Was that Nick Nolte as the short guy? Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. Like I hear voices, I'm like, that's a distinct voice. You've been hired for that purpose.
Mm.
That was Taika Waititi as the IG-11, not 88.
Such a good movie.
Should I self-destruct?
You had told me about that character.
loved it.
Yeah.
This show is amazing. It's the most fanfic Star Wars thing they've ever made, in that it's not Boba Fett teaming up with, not IG-88 to rescue baby not Yoda. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's using all these elements that feel so close to what we know,
but are new and different enough, particularly baby Yoda, where you're like, what is going on?
Yep, and it's man with no name mixed with lone cub and wolf. That idea of the Ronin, the disgraced samurai who sets out with a child.
Yep. And that's, okay, that's what Star Wars is. Star Wars has never decided it's going to come up with a new storyline.
Oh, no, it's Kurosawa films made.
Yeah.
You know, with white people in the desert.
Because it works.
Yep.
It's in outer space. It's everything you want it to be. And I just, the length of the episodes are long enough. I've watched them one at a time. I haven't binged them.
Well, you asked me after the first one, because I watched it, and you said, how long are they? And I said, oh, it's about 42, so probably normal. And then the next one was 32. And then this week's episode was 37. There's no bloat.
Because they're just as long as they need to be for the story to be told.
Do you think it was planned as a movie?
Maybe.
I want it. To think that maybe it wasn't filmed as a movie. It was filmed as a TV show.
No, yeah.
But there were rumors floating around for a long time that after Solo we would get a Boba Fett movie. And there are elements of this that feels like it could very well be that.
Mm.
But it really works as a TV show.
I do have a couple of questions though.
Mm.
So it was mentioned that the Mandalorians never take off their...
Correct. The helmets stay on.
I just don't know how they eat. I also wonder most of them are men. Like, what kind of facial hair situation do they have? Like, their teeth must be really bad. I've just got a lot of problems.
We don't know that they're human.
Yeah, we don't know.
We believe them to be.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But it's a whole thing.
When you walk into a bar and you're a Mandalorian, you're clearly not there for a drink. You're there for some bounty or something. So if I was a bartender in a bar and I see a Mandalorian walk in, I'm like, here we go, it's gonna be problems.
All right, I don't want to be that nerd, but in the old expanded universe stories there were nutripacks and things like that people could plug into their suits that would directly deposit nutrients into their systems. So that's how they get around creatures with no mouths or helmets and this sort of stuff. I don't even know if I want to say this out loud, because if I say this out loud and it happens, then everyone knows. But the reason why you have a character who won't take the helmet off is because they're not who they say they are. So I think whoever's underneath that Mandalorian killed the actual Mandalorian and is
exciting,
trying to assume the identity. That's why you have someone who won't take their mask off, is because they have a secret. They're hiding that. And it's either someone we know or someone pretending.
Or someone with terrible breathing problems like Darth Vader.
Yeah. But even Darth takes his helmet off.
Yeah, he does.
He has a bath.
He has a Darth bath.
Yeah, the Bactic tank.
I'm loving Mandalorian, and I genuinely look forward to the weekend because I know that I can watch an episode.
Yep. Yep.
It's got Star Wars feels.
As I say, it's the most I've enjoyed Star Wars in many, many years. It has me interested in going and seeing the next film again. Which I wasn't sure.
No, you definitely weren't after The Last Jedi. That's cool. I like that. Well, let's continue on our good vibes high with a good place recap.
Whoa. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I did have an element of difficulty watching this episode because I was looking after a 4-month-old baby at the time who was interested in sitting still for a little bit of it, and then she wanted to have nothing to do with anything.
But there were great theological debates taking
place.
There
really were. I mean, Chidi was going through a lot of things.
It was quite an episode.
Yeah. I like the note in the end.
Yeah.
Do you know what I like the most?
What's that?
Janet with her little tearing up. Yep. Not a girl is tearing up.
Yep, and the cheek and kiss on the cheek.
I really like that.
Yeah. I thought... It was weird in that it was an episode that not tons happened in moving the plot forward. But they rebooted Chidi's character entirely, and at the end we've now got A+1 Chidi. Like, this is Chidi in his final form now. He has conquered the fear. He has conquered
no
the stomach.
Tummy aches.
He is a man who is zen. He has found his answer.
Mm.
And who needs a big plot development when you're ballsy enough to have an entire episode where this takes place in the space of a finger click?
Yeah.
That someone's identity comes together and 802 rounds of afterlife finally worked.
Mm.
Beautiful.
It was a great episode in that.
Cried my eyes out.
We didn't. Yeah, that. The Janet bit for me was like.
Seeing the montage again.
The montage, but also the bit about his parents fighting, so he stayed up all night to give them a lecture about why they shouldn't get a divorce. And then when he speaks to Michael at the end about that, and as he's speaking to Michael about that, he realizes exactly what...
It wasn't what he said.
Yeah.
It was never what he said. It's what he made people feel.
Yeah. Oh. It was really nice. It was a really nice episode. And once again, I have no idea what will happen next.
Well...
We've got super confident, super confident, almost to the point of chill, Chidi now.
Yep. And who is the one person the judge fawns over and will always listen to? Chidi.
Mm.
So if they can put him in a postman outfit... She will just sit down and listen, and he'll be have a whiteboard and come up with the solution for the world.
What if he sings the solution to her? Like a musical kind of number?
Sure. Why not?
What if they all sing a musical number? Oh, no. Now if that doesn't happen, I'm going to be sad. No, I won't. It's a good place. They'll do something even better. They'll do something even better. That was episode 8.
I think, yeah.
Getting there.
We get... I think 4 episodes next year, one of which is a double.
Mm.
Boo.
I know. It's happening so quickly. Mm. Speaking of quickly, I thought this season of The Walking Dead went fast.
Yeah.
Or the half season.
It started so well.
Mm.
And
I thought what happened last week was good.
Okay, last week's one was very good.
And then the beginning of this episode as well was good.
Yeah, that everything that happened before the break, mm-hmm. before the credits, like the intro.
Mm-mm.
It was real solid. And then it was an 80-minute episode.
Yeah,
It was a long episode.
It was a long episode. But I did, I genuinely gasped, Father Gabriel do what he did. I was like, oh, he's had enough.
I felt it coming when he was talking about second chances.
And the fact that he walked
to do with Dante.
He walked into that cell not caring about his own personal safety, which meant that he was very confident about his own physical self.
I think that was just all in retaliation for the fact that he never acted on Negan and people died because Negan got out and he was not. That was the second chance he was talking about of not going to let that happen again. Mm. Anyway, Gabriel, probably not long for the world anymore. if you pull a move like that when you're the priest in the collar, that's... I mean, it'd be amazing. They can give a few episodes of darkness, but either he or Aaron are going soon. They're getting a lot of spotlight.
I want Father Gabriel to go Crazy Rick on us first.
Sure.
Because that's the beginning. Yeah, just go like that.
Bye, Michonne. Good thing you said goodbye to your daughter properly.
Yeah. Her reason, too. So this guy said that there was going to be like, they were going to give us all their weapons and ammo. So bye. Bye, Mum.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I know she's going to be in at least one episode.
Michonne?
Yeah, she hasn't left the show because there's been a couple of little clips or, you know, snippets, frames in season premieres and also in what's happening next after the break. And she's going to be there. So
I mean, I don't know, a naval base potentially could be circular from above, so it could represent one of the three rings of those people. Perhaps there's the armament or something like that.
So we had Dante. Now Michonne has met Virgil. In the book, Virgil was the guide, right, in Dante's Inferno.
Yep. Oh, good. You went there too. I saw those names. I was like, oh, this is...
Yeah.
We're going in the nine circles.
Yeah. So now that Dante's had his time... See, Dante was humanity. That's who he was in the books. Well, the book, I should say. I mean, I'm just interested to see if I mean, their names, they're together in this part of the show. There has to be a reason. Now I'm interested to see what Virgil is.
That's why they fell in the hole in the cave. They've now descended into hell.
Also, that's...
dumb.
That's like two missions in Days Gone.
Oh, and also, haven't we spent years now learning that these people can deal with zombies quite easily? Being stuck in a hole with them...
it's nothing. It was just stabby.
Who's going to go of that group?
Do you know, I wonder if they're going to go super ballsy and Jerry.
Jerry's got, he's the only family unit together still on that show. I don't see them ripping that apart.
Okay, then. Feisty girl with her girlfriend back at Hilltop.
Oh, yeah. Magna. I could see Magna.
Because we saw a love scene between them. We saw them have a little bit of a lover's tiff.
Well, I've got an idea on that. Mm. I've actually been thinking about why we suddenly saw that, because that's never been really a thing. And they established the fact that Yumiko used to be a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
and that Magna was a crim.
Mm.
So in the comic, when Michonne goes to the Commonwealth, she's treated as basically royalty because she used to be a lawyer. So she's high caste. Whatever you used to be is where you get put into now. And Michonne and Dwight are the two that go. Michonne gets put up the nice place, and Dwight is put down there. So I could very much see if Michonne's gone from the show now, then you could use Yumiko and Magna as those two characters. And you need someone Dwightish who's willing to kick up a shitstorm and make
Dwight-y
it worse.
She's Dwighty enough.
Yeah. Mm. So I could see them being positioned to move into those roles potentially.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Interesting. I think we were all a little disappointed that Virgil didn't go, Michonne, I know that name from somewhere. Maybe that'll happen
next.
Do you know a guy who...
Brick.
Like his hair sweats?
He calls himself Brick Brimes. I don't know.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got till February something or other. Like I think it's the 20-something.
It's a little break for us. I know some people will miss the show and I look forward to the show coming back, but it's also very nice for you and I to have a few weeks of just not talking about.
Not as much zombie action.
We've been talking about it for about 6 years now, you know.
It's a really long time.
Really long time.
Yes, a really long time. Quiz?
Please.
This one was sent in by Francis. Thank you, Francis.
Quiz.
How old would they be? So these are actors.
Yeah.
Who have passed away, and you've got to try and figure out, obviously you don't have to be super specific with the number, but how old they would be today.
Okay.
Heath Ledger. You knew it was going to be Heath first.
All right, so he died in 2008?
Yeah, around there I'd say.
Maybe tail in 2007. When he passed away, he was, I want to say, 28. Maybe... touch older. I'm going to go with he would be 39 to 40.
40. Born the 4th of April, 1979.
There you go.
Nice. That's good.
Thank you. That was a good one. Whew. Enjoyed that. Okay.
Audrey Hepburn. Roman Holiday. I'm going to say movies so that you've got a kind of era. Roman Holiday, Breakfast at Tiffany's, My Fair Lady.
She'd be about, I'm going to say 94.
Pretty close, 90.
Okay.
Born 4th of May, 1929.
Ah, 29. Yeah. For some reason, I thought she was a
bit younger.
Older. I thought she was born around 25. Anyway. I just did like long form calculations in my head then. I can't just pick a number. All right.
This one, I think you're going to get pretty close to Paul Walker.
Paul Walker. All right. So he passed away in 2012, I think.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was a fair while after Heath Ledger.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I think the first Fast and Furious that dealt with him being gone was 2014. So it might have been 13 that he went. I think he was about 38 when he died. So I'm going to say he would have been, I'll go 45.
Close, 46.
Oh, I nearly said 47.
12th of September, 73.
Yeah. All right. He had baby face.
He really did, didn't he? Mm-hmm. I reckon he was going to be one of those guys like Matt Damon, where young. Oh, now you look your age.
Yep.
Not old, just now you look your age. Mm. Speaking of young, James Dean. He only made a handful of movies, you know.
Yeah. And he died at, 27? Was he in the 27 Club or was he 33? Oh, he wouldn't have made
No, he wasn't in his 30s. I feel like either 27 or he was younger.
Yeah.
He'd only just made it in the world of Hollywood.
I'm going to say he'd have been 73.
Bit older. He'd be 88 now. Oh. He was born 8th of February, 1931. So not as old as Audrey Hepburn. Oh,
for some reason, I thought he was early 40s. Born in early 40s. Doesn't matter.
Mm.
There you go.
Let's go a bit.
That's a tough one.
That's a really tough one.
He didn't do much. It's difficult to pinpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because you're really only basing it off a couple of photographs and the car that he was driving.
I think James Franco throws me off.
Yeah.
Because I've seen him as James Dean at least once, maybe twice. Anyway.
Brittany Murphy.
Oh, okay. So she did Clueless.
She was rolling with the homies.
And she did 8 Mile.
Mm-hmm.
8 Mile would have been 2002. And I don't think she hung around for too much longer after that. I think maybe 2006, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Okay. And she would have been, I think she's one of those actresses that played younger, like a 90210. So in Clueless, when she was playing 17, she would have been 27.
When was 25. Clueless?
Clueless like was 94
or something, 4 or 5, yeah. Actually, most of that cast looks younger than they are.
I'll say 50. I'll say 50.
She's a lot younger than you're guessing. This is probably the one you've gone blowed out the most. 42 she would be, born 19th of November, 77. That means that I'm pretty sure she might be one of the younger people in Clueless. Because I'm pretty sure that Alicia Silverstone, I think she's about 74. One more. Are you ready?
One more. Okay.
Last one. I couldn't leave River Phoenix out of this.
No. Oh, he'll never be an old man, River.
No.
Phoenix.
Very well done.
Thank you. Tism. He'll never be an old man, River Phoenix.
I've got so many songs to listen to after this podcast.
Tism. Everyone overseas, it stands for This Is Serious Mum. They were an Australian band, all wear balaclavas. Mm-hmm. Did songs like Yob or Wanker.
We're always on. My memory is always on recovery.
Yep. And just every festival ever.
Yeah.
Anyway, distracted. River Phoenix. I'm going to say he passed away in 1996. I take that back because Leo was coming up by then and Romeo and Juliet. Mm. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to say instead 94.
Yeah, I'd say around then. That feels safe.
95, somewhere around there. Okay. And he was early 20s.
Also have a look at like how old his brother is, how old his friends and people he was in movies with would be now or are now.
44.
Yeah, pretty close, 49.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Yeah, so I think that means that Keanu Reeves is older than him.
Keanu was a couple of years older. Yeah.
23rd of August 1970, River Phoenix was born.
There you go.
It's a bad one. Thanks, Francis. That was good. You got a couple spot on.
Thanks, a couple of thumbs up. I enjoyed that sort of trivia. I can. That's good. I like that.
Have a little ponder about it.
Mm.
If you've got a quiz or question or anything you want to say to us, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com is the place to send it to. Tom, thank you very much.